Let us pray. Loving God, as you open the tomb and raise Jesus to new life, so open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed, we may hear it with joy and in confidence go forth to live what you show us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of Easter lies not just in the life it offers us, but also in the way we are recruited to be life bringers. Today, the role of love in leading us to life and enabling us to bring life to others stands out in our readings. Love is never easy. It is always messy, unpredictable, and scandalously inclusive. But if we seek to follow Christ, we cannot avoid the privilege and the responsibility. We have to be people of love. The Easter message shifts this week from Jesus' offer of life to us to the way we seek to live out that life as we follow him. And it is a startling message of inclusivity and love. Jesus' new commandment is frequently sung and quoted, but the one another that Jesus calls us to love is often limited to Christian believers, to those we associate with here at church and in other Christian activities. Today, as the gospel is laid beside the other readings, we realize that this one another goes much further. In Acts, we discover that the previously excluded Gentiles are now included in God's kingdom. In the psalm, all of creation is included in this one another, as the entire creation is exhorted to offer praise. And in John's revelation vision, we discover that God so includes all that God moves God's dwelling place, heaven, into our earthly neighborhood. There can be no greater all-encompassing statement of love for all from God. We have no more excuses for turning the gospel into an exclusive message. Today, we speak in the name of Christ Jesus about love, about Christ-like love, about the kind of love we are called to have and by the grace of God do have, if in fact we follow his steps through faith. We know the commandments concerning love, about who we should love and how we should love them. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus is asked earlier in the gospel record. And he replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And a second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The American rabbi Lab Olam, writing about the second of these laws as it's found in Leviticus 19:18, tells a story that goes like this. A Russian peasant farmer who had never before left the small parochial surroundings of his town had occasion to come to the big city of Moscow. He arrived at the elegant hotel with mud on his boots and in overalls, looking completely inappropriate. Nevertheless, the man at the desk assigned him to a room on the top floor and treated him as any other paying customer. With key in hand and a few possessions, he started the long climb to the hotel room. On the first landing, there was a full-length mirror. The man who had never seen himself before was suddenly startled and frightened by the imposing image before him. He growled and menaced to scare him away, only to find that the image in the mirror was willing to threaten and shout the same. He ran up to the next floor and confronted the fearsome giant again, exchanging harsh looks and almost coming to blows. On the third floor, they stood nose to nose and exchanged simultaneous insults as a deeply warlike attitude was taking root in both of them. Realizing that there was nowhere to escape this ugly, beast-like fellow who was aggressively stalking him in the hotel, the farmer ran quickly back to the lobby and to the front desk to file a complaint. After having given a detailed description of the perpetrator, the man at the desk understood that the man the farmer had met was not an enemy, but was actually the man himself in the mirror. So, to save the face of his guest and to disengage the hostility, he offered some simple advice. He said, "The fellow who you confronted is here to protect people. He's really quite harmless. Trust me. If you will show him a harsh, angry countenance, he will do the same. However, if when you see him, you just smile pleasantly and continue on your way, he will nod and smile at you as well. Enjoy the rest of your stay." The farmer took the desk clerk's advice, and remarkably, that's what happened. King Solomon is reported to have once said, "Like the reflection of a face in water, so is the heart of one person to another." To love another is a difficult thing, especially when our experience of love is flawed, especially when we're unaware of how much we are loved, and most especially when the reflection in the water is full of anger and bitterness or resentment, as so many are. To really love another, we often need a standard or a guide to follow, and within that standard or guide, we need help. Not only help to know what love is, but to know that the love we need is within us, that it is embracing us and has the power to embrace others through us, especially to embrace those others towards whom we do not feel love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. These commands, Jesus said, summarize the law and the prophets. The law which Jesus says will not pass away until all is accomplished. To that law which is most difficult for us to keep, Jesus added one commandment, and one commandment only, during the 3 years of his ministry. The commandment heard in our gospel reading this morning, the one given by Jesus after Judas had departed from the Last Supper to betray him to his death. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this will all people know that you are my disciples, if you love one another as I have loved you. And in this way, you must love one another." And how is it that Jesus loves us? Is it not by giving himself away for us? By blessing us even when he knows that we're not following and perhaps will not follow him? By being proactive in love rather than simply reactive? Look at the cross. Look at this table, where the Lord's body and blood are lifted up so that we might remember. This is the love that seeks to embrace us. This is the love that is more than simply our guide and our model. It is the love that, when received, is more than able to pour itself out upon others, no matter how we might feel about them. It is the love of the one who gave himself for us while we were yet enemies of God. The freely given love of the one whose faithfulness destroys our death and whose resurrection restores our life. In my native land, Canada, where during winter overboots and anoraks and mittens and scarves are the daily wear for children attending school, shed and hung up in a cloakroom or locker while lessons are on, A story is told about a teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put his boots on. He asked for help, and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boot still didn't want to go on. When the second boot was on, she worked up a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. Then he announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" as she wanted to. Once again, she struggled to help him pull off the ill-fitting boots. And then he said, "These are my brother's boots. My mother made me wear them." She didn't know if she should laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace to wrestle the boots on his feet again. Then she said, "Where are your mittens?" And the child said, "I stuffed them into the toes of my boots." Have you ever had one of those days? I think all of us have. The question is, will we bite our tongues and do the good thing we desire to do? Will we face the countless little crosses that appear before us each day? Will we willingly take on the burdens that should not be ours to take, despite a lack of appreciation and understanding among those whom we are helping? This is what love does. It accepts the little crosses, knowing that the large cross has already been taken for us, knowing that because Jesus has accepted us, we can accept others in his love, that we can trust them to his care, his judgment, his mercy, and his righteousness. And never more so than with those towards whom love is hardest to show. The self that fears the evil within, that stranger we see in the mirror, and the other strangers, those who are not in the mirror but who seem to stand before us in person screaming words like, "Crucify him," and holding in their hands the nails of execution. Love one another as I have loved you. This means that we are able to be open to the new, for us to be open to those viewed by all as unclean, as unholy, as undesirable, to be open to those that our wisdom and our feelings also tell us are unclean, unholy, unacceptable, and undesirable. For some, that may be someone in their own family who's hurt them beyond words. For others, it might be the shiftless and the unemployed, people we see as bludgers using the system. Or it might be the crims and the druggies and thieves who enter people's houses to steal not only physical treasures, but also to rob the entire human family of its joy and hope. For others, it may be an employer or a debtor or some group of persons that have done us or our world an injury. But what we need to remember is that God will judge all people. That's God's task, not ours. Blessed be God for that. Blessed be the one whose love does not fail and who wills to give us that love and who vows to take care of all who follow him, to nurture them and help them grow, and to usher them into the blessedness of his eternal kingdom. God loves us most powerfully, and he gives us the power to love others. Would you love someone today that you find hard to love? Then know that God loves you, that God loves you without condition, and will make your life full and abundant as you turn to love others with his love. Another story to finish up with. An elderly woman and her little grandson, whose face was sprinkled bright with freckles, spent the day at the zoo. There was someone there doing face painting, and lots of children were waiting in line to get their faces painted. The little boy wanted his face done too. But a girl in the line said to him, "You've got so many freckles, there'd be no place to paint." Embarrassed, the little boy dropped his head. But his grandmother knelt down next to him and said, "I love your freckles. When I was a little girl, I always wanted freckles," tracing her finger across the child's cheek. "Freckles are beautiful." The boy looked up. "Really?" "Of course," said the grandmother. "Why, just name one thing that's more beautiful than freckles." The little boy thought for a moment, peered intensely into his grandma's face, and softly whispered, "Wrinkles." "May all our friends and those who would be our enemies if we let them be have beautiful freckles and gorgeous wrinkles. Let go and let God, and love one another as Christ loves you, with a love that saves and redeems his people. Blessed be God forever. Amen."